This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with the traveling Nick Whalen, live from the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association Conference in Chicago. Welcome, Nick. Are you the sausage king here of the FSGA? No, you're not. That's a Ferris Bueller reference. Sorry, you wouldn't get that. But how, so we're doing this live from Chicago. I know the conference is just getting started. We'll be looking forward to hearing more from that. We got a big trade though. I mean, I wake up this morning. It's supposed to be sleepy time in the NFL. Training camp is a couple weeks away. No, we get the big Jalen Ramsey trade. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking a little LeBron. We got some rate that prop for baseball props. We got football props, and we got my favorite over unders and more on Monday Night Baseball as well. Let's start off with this bombshell of a trade. You know, I thought all along, okay, Jalen Ramsey's going to get dealt. The Dolphins pretty much promised that, but all along it's like, oh, the Rams will probably trade like a fourth round pick for him or something like that, and there'll be some way to figure out the salary. No, it's three big players in this trade. Ramsey and Jonnu Smith go to the Steelers in exchange for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They do an exchange of seventh round picks in 2027 as well. But you don't see player for player trades like this that often.
You absolutely don't, Jeff. And that was the first thing that stuck out to me. I think, you know, you joke about the Jalen Ramsey, you know, for a fourth or fifth round pick to the Rams trade. And that's kind of how it goes these days, right? You have these guys who've made all pro teams who, you know, still are close to the peak of their powers. And it's a lot different than the NBA or even Major League Baseball, right? Where sometimes it leaves you kind of scratching your head and saying, really, that's all? A fourth round pick for that guy? This is the type of trade that you don't see very often, if ever, in recent history in the NFL, where you have, you know, three major players involved, including two guys who have been multi-time all pros. And obviously there's another wrinkle here in that Minkah Fitzpatrick returns to the Miami Dolphins, a team with which he started his career before, you know, there was some headbutting back in the Brian Flores days. But, you know, the Jonnu Smith part of this is really interesting as well, because there had been some smoke around this, right? About a month ago, there was that report that, you know, maybe they were close to trading him to the Steelers. All of that seemed to calm down. And it turns out that it never really did calm down behind the scenes. And these two sides had clearly been negotiating. So, you know, it's difficult for me to assess, you know, right now who won the trade. You know, the Steelers getting two major pieces and sending out one, you know, it feels like maybe they get the short term bump. But at the same time, I think both of these teams have, you know, shored up a weakness, but also opened up another weakness at the same time, right? Like the Dolphins now feel better about their safety situation, but they're kind of lost at cornerback. The Steelers feel better about cornerback, but now who's going to play safety when you're getting rid of a three-time All-Pro in Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Exactly. And I am confused on a lot of different angles on this one here. I mean, what does Ramsey have left in the tank? Will taking away a great safety hurt the Steelers? Maybe there's some undercurrent there, perhaps, that, you know, this was that the Steelers were thinking that Fitzpatrick wasn't carrying his weight anyhow. Maybe that's part of it there, that we probably should have been maybe looking at a little bit more. I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm really kind of interested to see how this all pales out, how this all turns out. I was looking at earlier at some of the win total odds that you could look around at DraftKings, because all along, you know, I've been kind of anti-Dolphins. That's been one of my stronger leans, is under 8.5 for the Dolphins. If anything, I'm even stronger on that. And I'm looking at like the DraftKings Sportsbook. You look at them now, under an 8.5 is -180. So they tend to agree. So you're probably that's going to probably move that win total at some point there. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, I mean, they're always in that 8-10 win band. It seems like over 8.5 is -120, under 8.5 is +100. So that seems like these two teams are fairly similar in their expectations. I think the payouts are a little bit different, but both, I mean, I think that Miami's probably going to end up closer to 7.5 now, given what they haven't done this offseason in terms of building that defense. But still, I thought it was noteworthy there, trying to figure that all out.
Yeah, I'm with you on Miami. I'm a little bit lower on this team overall. I guess what you can say is, you know, the expectation all along is that Jalen Ramsey would not be on this team in some capacity, right? It always felt like they were going to trade him. And again, our expectation was that it would be for some sort of draft compensation. So the fact that you are bringing in a really good 28-year-old All-Pro in Minkah Fitzpatrick, I think you have to at least feel better about the Dolphins defense. But again, you know, there's a lot of inexperience now in that cornerback room. But I mean, my concerns for the Dolphins really lie more on the offensive side of the ball, right? And you're now trading the guy who was, you know, right there with Devon Achane as far as carrying that offense over the second half of the season. I mean, it was the Jonnu Smith raid. It was the Devon Achane raid. We didn't see a lot of Tyreek Hill. We didn't see a lot of Jaylen Waddle impacting this offense. So I think your evaluation of the Dolphins really comes down to, can they get those guys re-involved? You know, will Tyreek Hill be back to the guy that he was 2 or 3 years ago, or is he over the hill? Can you trust Jaylen Waddle to stay healthy? You know, I'm not a big Tua guy, mm-hmm. Jeff, so that makes it difficult for me to look anywhere but the under on that 8.5. I think it's also interesting to note that there are some big fantasy ramifications here for the Pittsburgh Steelers at tight end, because, you know, I still had some interest in Pat Freiermuth that you could basically get for free at the end of a lot of drafts. You felt better about him with Aaron Rodgers, certainly, than you did with Mason Rudolph. But what happens now in the Steelers tight end room?
Yeah, I think, well, you'll see a lot of two tight end sets. I think you saw that a lot of Arthur Smith offenses anyhow. I think they'll kind of drag each other down a little bit. I am lower on both today than I was before the trade, to say the least. In Miami, I mean, I also look at them and like Julian Hill, Pharaoh Brown are their top two on their depth chart there. After Tyreek Hill, and we don't know what he's going to get, we're going to get from him. After Jaylen Waddle, it's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. It's Malik Washington. You know, I feel worse about this Dolphins offense. I'm with you. I'm not a super big Tua guy, and I'm a little lower on him today than I was yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it always felt somewhat far-fetched that Jonnu Smith was going to repeat the kind of numbers that we saw from him over the second half of last season, but I feel a lot less confident about that now in Pittsburgh. You know, they're not just going to kick Pat Freiermuth to the curb, and like you said, the Dolphins are now pretty much completely devoid of reliable options outside of Hill and Waddle. I mean, Westbrook-Ikhine had some sneaky nice weeks for fantasy in Tennessee last year, but not sure you can necessarily depend on that year over year, so... Really, really interesting trade. I certainly think we're going to see Jonnu Smith's ADP fall pretty precipitously over the next couple of weeks. But it is worth noting that he's reuniting with Arthur Smith for now the third time, right? He had him in Tennessee. He had him in Atlanta. So I think that was part of the calculation that Arthur Smith said, look, I want this guy on the roster.
Yep, indeed. Let's pivot over to the NBA. LeBron James, he's opted back in with the Lakers, you know, but he's also putting pressure on the Lakers. He doesn't want them building for the future. What are you looking at here with LeBron?
Yeah, you know, I was on late last night with our guy, Greg Peterson, on Cashing Out, and we chatted about this a little bit. And essentially what I said is that it feels like LeBron is opening up the old playbook. You know, we're back to 2016, 2017, 2018 LeBron, where everything he says, everything he does, whether it's, you know, through his own mouth or through Rich Paul, is very calculated. And I think that's how most people reacted to the news yesterday. It's like LeBron picks up his option, but then has this cryptic quote via Rich Paul that's basically like, yeah, I'm picking up the option, but I'm going to be watching very closely to see what the organization does in free agency and how they handle the rest of this offseason. And, you know, it's interesting because LeBron has not really done this since he came to the Lakers all the way back in the summer of 2018. He had kind of taken his foot off the gas, right? 8 straight finals with the Heat and the Cavaliers. And then we saw kind of a more relaxed version of LeBron, a guy who, you know, was willing to kind of take things 2-3 years at a time, as opposed to this, you know, all-in mantra that he had carried for most of his career. But I think this is LeBron, you know, sensing his age, realizing that, yeah, maybe he only does have 1-3 years left in the NBA, and finally putting that pressure on the Lakers. I think it's also realizing that the Lakers' priority has changed. It's no longer do what we can around LeBron James. It's we have Luka Doncic, and he's the future of this franchise. LeBron is not the future. And, you know, we are interested in building a sustainable winner around Luka Doncic, a team that can compete for the next 5 to 7 years, not just next season. So I don't really know where this goes. You know, it's not like the Lakers have a ton of cap space, a ton of flexibility. I think DeAndre Ayton being bought out last night by the Portland Trailblazers, that is something that could really, really benefit the Lakers, especially if Ayton is willing to take a discount. He has the same agent, by the way, as Luka Doncic. I mean, he could basically fall into their lap. I know it's DeAndre Ayton. We're not thrilled about that, but it's better than any other option that the Lakers would be looking at in free agency at center. I don't think, Jeff, this leads to a LeBron trade request. You know, that's the worst case scenario for the LA Lakers. It's fascinating to think about. You know, LeBron does have a no trade clause, so if that were to come about, he would essentially be able to choose his destination. I will say, if it comes to that, and again, I don't think that's the case, but if it does, if I'm LeBron, I want to get to the East. I want to get to the conference where I made 8 straight finals, the conference that feels wide open right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, you know, it's just a question of, though, how can he engineer his way there and still get what he wants? I think that's the really tricky right. part there. Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. A little news story that's coming out here in the sports betting and NBA world is Malik Beasley is under investigation in a federal gambling probe for betting activity on his stats in the 2023-24 season. What's your reaction to this?
Well, first of all, it's another in a troubling trend, you know, over the last calendar right. year, where, of course, we had the Jontay Porter situation that blew up. You know, Terry Rozier was and possibly still is under investigation. You know, that came out midway through the season, felt like it kind of faded away. I'm not really sure where we stand on Rozier. And now here we go again with another guy who is a really key player, right? You don't think of Malik Beasley as a star yeah. by any means. This is a guy who finished second in the NBA in made threes last season. And it's interesting to me that we're dealing with two seasons ago, you know, that it took this long to get to this point. But yeah, we can talk more about that throughout the week. I know we have to hit a break here, but it's a concerning trend. It's a concerning trend for me, for sure. It's certainly something that the NBA is going to address.
Yeah, and certainly in our industry too, certainly in the state of California, where their fantasy apps are getting under investigation. All right, more baseball talk less coming up next here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you. Time to take a look at some Major League Baseball props for the Monday slate. A little bit of an abbreviated slate, as has been the case these last few weeks, but still plenty of baseball action coming our way tonight. Jeff, we're going to play a game of Rate That Prop. I will give you a prop. You are going to give it a rating, 1 through 5. The higher the number, the more confident you are in betting that prop, the more confident you are that prop will hit. Pretty simple stuff here. We will start with your guy, Chase Burns of the Cincinnati Reds. He's on the mound tonight looking at strikeouts. Rate that prop, Jeff. Chase Burns over 8.5 Ks, getting that at plus 115.
Yeah, I struggled with this one a little bit here because the Red Sox do strike out a bunch, and Chase Burns has great strikeout stuff. In fact, in the last 30 days, the Red Sox have only struck out less than the Rockies, who we like to poke fun at. But at nearly 26%, you would think this is ideal. However, at home, they don't strike out as often. It's closer to like 22% of the time is their K percentage. So that kind of gives me a little bit cause for pause. It's also, you know, Burns' second start. Now there's a little bit more scouting report on him a little bit. Perhaps they lay off his slider a little bit more. We'll see. I put it as a 3. I could see myself doing it, but I'm not super eager to do so. I can't wait for this matchup. Burns versus Garrett Crochet, though, should be a lot of fun to watch it. This is the 50th anniversary, by the way, of the Red Sox 1975 World Series, too. Ooh. So, I know you finally remember that one. I actually don't even remember that myself. My first baseball memory is 1976 Reds Yankees World Series. That's the first time I kind of remember anything, like remember watching a game. But it should be a fun series. I am just going to give it a 3, though, on this one.
Okay, that was a good 17 years before I was born, so I don't have a ton of memory of the 75 series. Gonna have to do some catching up on that, but we'll take a 3 out of 5 to start out on Chase Burns over 8.5 Ks tonight. Let's take a look at the Philadelphia Phillies. They are home for the Padres tonight. Zach Wheeler on the hill. We're looking at his strikeout prop as well. Jeff, rate that prop, Zach Wheeler over 6.5 Ks, plus 120.
Yeah, intrepid producer Michael Cohen picked a good one here. I know he carefully sifts through all the props, finds the very best for us to evaluate. Wheeler should get this one. I rated it a 4. He's been getting it on the regular lately. The only cause for some hesitation, if you will, is the Padres aren't a heavy strikeout team. 19% strikeout rate as a team. It's among the lower strikeout rates in baseball. However, On the road, I think they strike out a little bit more. Lately, they haven't been hitting as well. So that's why I rated this a 4. I play it in DFS if I have it. Although, watch the early start. The main slate's on DraftKings. You're not going to be able to work this one in as well. Mm-hmm. But I do like this one quite a bit.
Yeah, Philly's going up against Matt Waldron, getting the call up for the Padres tonight. Some injuries in that rotation. Waldron making his 2025 debut, put up a 4.91 ERA in 27 appearances last season. Let's move over to the New York Yankees, Jeff. This is how we know that Michael Cohen came up with these props. We got multiple Yankees coming up here and rate that prop. We'll start on the pitching side of things. Carlos Rodon going up against Max Scherzer tonight. Yankees facing the Blue Jays. Rate that prop, Carlos Rodon, over 17.5 outs recorded. This is -120 at DK.
Yeah, this one's just it's a 3, and it's closer to like a 2.75, but we have to round up. Toronto actually hits lefties pretty well. 6 in WOBA against lefties, 6 in WRC plus against lefties. They've been hitting better as a team lately. We'll be talking about a certain Toronto player later on when we do the breakdown of this game for later on in the fourth segment of the show. But, you know, I think this is pretty close. I think they need Rodon to go a little deeper if possible. So that's one of the reasons why I think he gets that full 6th inning. But it's going to be really close. So only a 3 here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a great price there at -120. I'm with you on that. Well, we'll settle for a 3. Sticking with the New York Yankees, Jeff, rate that prop, Aaron Judge, over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI tonight, +110.
Yeah, +110 is one of the reasons why I like this one. And I've only given it a 3 because it's still a heavy number to hit, but at least we're getting plus money on this here. One home run takes care of that. So if he does homer, then we get there. That's one of the reasons we like this. It's against Max Scherzer, and Max Scherzer, even though he doesn't really ever beat the Yankees, and you know, staying deep into games has been an issue for him a little bit. You look at his batter versus pitcher stuff there. It's actually pretty decent that he's actually had a decent track record against the Yankees. You know, and a lot of that goes all the way back to when he was with a member of the Tigers. So you got to take that with the appropriate grain of salt. But 633 career OPS against him by the current Yankee lineup there. So, you know, I think that Judge might struggle early, but he could get to that Toronto bullpen as well. So I'm still going to go with it, but that's why it's a 3.
We'll take a look at some Cal Raleigh and Bobby Witt props in a moment. But first, there's a new sports betting market in town, and it's called XCUTTA. That's spelled XCUTTA. XCUTTA is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. You can create your own XCUTTA auctions for you and your crew for any sport or any sporting event. We're talking football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, the Super Bowl, the World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even your own local golf tournament. You can create your own private or public auctions. You can create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. We're talking over 1,000 teams, players, and drivers in the database with the ability for you to add more. Free practice auctions are available now. They're running daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. over at xcutta.com. And for a free 3-month bidding subscription, you can email support@xcutta.com and just mention VSiN. Again, that's support@xcutta.com. Make sure you mention us over here at VSiN. xcutta.com, it's the future of future wagering. All right, back to rate that prop as we take a look at the Monday night Major League Baseball slate. Jeff, as promised, we got a Cal Raleigh prop for you. Rate that prop. Cal Raleigh, just to record an RBI. 1 plus RBI tonight at +120. Seattle home for the Kansas City Royals.
Just a measly little RBI. That's all we're asking for here.
That's all we need. All we need.
Yeah, in the notes, Michael imposed the do theory on us there. The do theory is always dangerous in betting, but we've cited it before. Hasn't had any RBI in the last 5 games. You know, he was on fire prior to that. So a little give and take. Up against Michael Wacha at home. I even though home ballpark isn't, T-Mobile is not great for hitters, Raleigh seems to be doing just fine there. I think he rallies and gets that RBI. We're giving it a 4, Nick.
Gosh, I should have known that was coming.
We had gone 20. We got to do
rate
it.
That props. Well, we had gone four rate that props without a player pun. And here we go, Jeff, as we roll into Bobby Witt here. So rate that prop, Bobby Witt Jr. on the other side of this game, just to hit a home run. One plus homers for Bobby Witt tonight, getting us at plus 425.
Yeah, we do. And I just don't like it. Don't like it at all. T-Mobile, very tough place to hit a home run. It's also a great place for right-handers to strike out. Highest strikeout rate indexed in the last couple of years, and it's indexed over multiple years, according to Baseball Savant. 118 strikeout rating there, and only an 87 home run rating for right-handed power. So I don't think this is a good spot for Bobby Witt. Up against George Kirby. Kirby, we're going to be talking more about this game as well later. Kirby's allowed seven homers in seven starts. He's kind of been working his way back from that shoulder issue there. I just don't think this is a good spot. So I would need a bigger payoff there. Even though 425 seems like pretty good. You know, when my dinger props, 425 is my range.
Yeah.
But I think I need around 500 because of the ballpark. So two is my rating here.
Okay, we got a bonus for you, Jeff. We got a little bit of extra time here. So you gave Chase Burns over 8.5 strikeouts. That was a 3 out of 5. We had that at plus 115. How about Chase Burns to record a win tonight? Plus 330. Now, like you said, he is going up against Garrett Crochet. They are on the road in Boston. Would you think about that at plus 330?
Given that I'm giving out Garrett Crochet to get a win later on, I'd say no. I'm going to rate that as a 2. I won't put it as a rock bottom 1 because here's the thing. I'm all over Chase Burns. I added him in 3 leagues in fantasy this weekend in fab bidding. So I'm excited about Chase Burns, but this is a tough ask in Fenway. He gets 2 starts this week, by the way, and he started with the Yankees last week. Tough spot for his debuts. Yankee at Fenway, at Philly later this weekend. So, tough landing spot for his career. But if he gets through this, I think we're going to come through in pretty flying colors. I think he is a difference maker. I just don't want to bet on him getting a win, especially when you consider that the Reds bullpen will have to play a role in this as well. I don't think Burns goes more than 6 innings in this game. So you're getting at least 3 relief innings. And the Reds bullpen has been a little heavily worked lately.
Okay, so we can definitively say that this will not be the first Major League Baseball game in history where 2 players pick up a win. All right, so if we don't like Chase Burns, we've got to be looking at the other side on Garrett Crochet. All right, we got to head to break. When we come back, we're going to switch focus over to the National Football League, talk some season-long player props for Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Matthew Golden. It's all coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here. We are with rotowire.com. Started the show with the NFL trade. We're going to go back over to some NFL individual player props. Nick, we're going to go down to Duval. Talk a little Travis Hunter here. And I'm going to give you a medley of options for his interception props. You can get it at 1 plus at minus 295, 2 plus at plus 125, 3 plus at plus 300. If you want to go aggressive, 4 plus at plus 800. Which one from the menu are you choosing?
So I would be interested in the 2 plus interceptions at plus money, plus 125. You can maybe talk me into 3 plus at 3-1. I would argue that maybe that's the best value on the board, but I don't think I would go any higher than that. I think one thing you have to keep in mind is that, especially if you are a Travis Hunter fan, if you think he's going to hit the ground running and be a really good cornerback right away, those aren't necessarily the guys that rack up a ton of interceptions, right? It's the guys who are being thrown at a little bit more, which I tend to think he will because he is a rookie. I think there will be some more speed bumps, if you will, for Travis Hunter during this rookie season, maybe than some others might expect. But he also had only 7 interceptions in 2 seasons at Colorado. It's still unclear to me how many snaps he's going to be playing on defense versus offense. It feels like we get kind of different messaging from the Jaguars every week. So this is not really a market that I'm all that interested in right now until we have more clarity on what Travis Hunter's role will be. We also have to keep in mind that, yes, they do have a new coaching staff coming in, but this was a Jaguars team last year that was right near the bottom of the league in takeaways. They only had 6 interceptions as a team, one of the worst secondaries in football. You hope certainly that that comes around year over year, but it's no guarantee. Looking at last year, Jeff, 37 players had at least three interceptions. So we're talking a little over one per team. I don't know if the Jags get two this year based on how it went last season. But the other thing to keep in mind here, and I did some digging on this, you know, if you look back year over year, decade over decade, interceptions are down big time in the NFL in recent years compared to the past, you know, really significantly. If you look at 10 plus years, you know, behind us, I think quarterbacks, you know, certainly have gotten better overall. I think the passing game has gotten a little bit safer. We don't see quarterbacks taking the same type of chances that they used to in the past. So I know we're not looking at crazy numbers here. We're not talking eight interceptions for Travis Hunter as a rookie, but all the Travis Hunter markets to me are a little bit overjuiced because of the excitement and the hype around him. So I don't have a ton of interest here. I'll take the two plus at plus 125.
Yeah. I was going to try to filter in a Jameis Winston joke there about the interceptions being down as a whole. The whole 30 for 30 season is still one of my favorite seasons of all time. Just high entertainment watching him play. But anyhow, let's stick with the rookie talk. How many sacks will Abdul Carter have? This is also odds via DraftKings. You get 7+ at minus 150, 8+ at minus 110, 9+ at plus 150, 10+ at plus 275, 11+ at 475, and 12+ at plus 800. Which one are you going for?
So to me, I would probably draw the line at 9+ at plus 150, maybe 10+ at plus 275. You know, if you look since 2010, so we're talking, what, 14 seasons worth of rookies, only eight rookies have had double-digit sacks in that span. So it is relatively rare, you know, certainly less than one per year. You look at last season, Braden Fisk for the Rams, he led all rookies with 8.5 sacks. Chop Robinson was second with 6. Again, I think 9+ is reasonable when you're talking about a talent like Abdul Carter. You do wonder a little bit, you know, about the foot issue coming out of Penn State. But to me, the bigger concern here, Jeff, and it's similar in some ways where we're kind of wondering, like, what is Travis Hunter's role going to be in Jacksonville? The Giants have Brian Burns. They have Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, both of those guys, you know, big-time pass rushers, big-time investment, certainly in Thibodeau. And obviously Dexter Lawrence on the inside. You know, if you look through some of the reports during OTAs, the suggestion was that Burns and Thibodeau were the quote-unquote starters, but they were, you know, working on packages to get all three on the field. I do think, you know, Thibodeau is probably the guy that they look at and say maybe he's not a part of the long-term future, but he's still on the roster for this season. There's still a significant investment in him. So I do wonder, you know, are we going to see kind of a three-man rotation in terms of pass rushers for the Giants, especially early in the season? That does concern me a little bit when you're talking about the sack upside for Abdul Carter. So to me, I don't know that I would go higher than 9+ at plus 150.
You know, there was some buzz, like, before the draft that maybe Thibodeau gets dealt as part of the draft there.
Yeah.
What are the possibilities that maybe in season he gets dealt? I mean, let's look at the Giants schedule here real quick, because I think it's one of the harder schedules in football, and it's front loaded too. You got at the Commanders, at the Cowboys to start. I mean, division game, they could win one of those. Home against the Chiefs, home against the Chargers. Week 5, they get at the Saints. Okay, great. That might be their win. Home against the Eagles, at the Broncos, at the Eagles, home against the Niners, at the Bears versus the Packers, at the Lions. This is a tough, tough, tough schedule. You know, if they start off 2-6, 1-7, I mean, Thibodeau could get dealt.
Oh, no question. No question. And I think there's a very real world in which the Giants do get off to that slow start, right? I mean, how many of those games are they going to be favored in? Maybe one against the Saints? And, you know, I think that there's a lot of pressure on the Giants organization, the decision makers, the coaching staff to maximize this season in the short term. And there are some nice pieces on this defense. I don't feel great about the offense. I don't feel great about the quarterback play right now. I don't think this is going to be a good team. I think if they're smart, they will be in sell mode at the deadline. And I think Thibodeau would make some sense. You know, they did pick up his fifth year option that would take him through next season. But as of right now, the player that he's been, the production that he's given them, I don't think they necessarily view him as a long-term piece. And I think he could be somebody that, especially if he does play well, if he has a couple splash games over the first half of the season, you try to cash in on that.
Yeah, exactly. Matthew Golden goes to Green Bay. They get their first round wide receiver. So let's play with their the DraftKings receiving yards odds here for the regular season. You can get 700 plus at minus 130, 800 plus at plus 150, 900 plus at plus 320, and 1,000 plus at plus 500. where are you stand on the Matthew Golden issue here? Are you buying in on any of these numbers?
Look, I'm lower than consensus on Matthew Golden, both in terms of the futures market and certainly, you know, where he's going in fantasy football drafts. You know, Jaden Reed is the first Packers receiver off the board typically, but Golden doesn't go too much further behind. I'm a lot more in on Jaden Reed as kind of a third year bounce back than I am on Matthew Golden sight unseen. But like you said, there is a huge level of investment here, a unprecedented in recent times level of investment in Matthew Golden, burning a first round pick on him. To me, Jeff, this doesn't even really come down to Matthew Golden himself. It comes down to which version of Jordan Love slash the Packers passing game that we see. We saw two very different versions last year. First half of the season, Jordan Love is throwing the ball about 35 times per game. You know, some of the injuries set in. You know, the passing game never really clicked. They leaned so much more heavily on Josh Jacobs down the stretch. Final eight games of the regular season, Jordan Love was throwing the ball 23 times per game. And it's just really, really difficult to sustain any sort of receiving production when the volume is that low. I mean, no Packers receiver was targeted more than 76 times last season. Jaden Reed led the team with just over 850 yards. With that said, there is opportunity here. I don't think we see Christian Watson for most of next season. Who knows if Romeo Doubs will be able to stay healthy. The concussions and the injuries are starting to mount for him. In terms of rookie receivers last year, we saw three guys top 1,000 yards, Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey. I don't think he's going to be in that territory, but the Xavier Worthy, Rome Odunze territory, like that kind of rookie season, that feels doable to me. So we're talking, you know, 600 to 750 yards. The thing with that, though, is the targets have to be there, right? Odunze was targeted over 100 times. Xavier Worthy was targeted 98 times last year. Is Matthew Golden going to get to that level? I don't know that he will. He wasn't really a target hog at Texas. He's kind of more this big play guy, you know, 15 to 18 yards per reception. Again, it all comes down to your evaluation of the Packers passing game. I'm a little bit skeptical. I would not go higher than 800 plus. I don't even love that, even at plus 150.
Yeah, there's a fantasy lesson in there somewhere there too, as well, I would say. If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL betting guide is your first real edge, and it comes out tomorrow. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, and betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Kick off your season with confidence and get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bet emails, and exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for just $175. Your smartest NFL season bet starts now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Let's talk quarterbacks. Who's going to start? Rookie quarterbacks? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Or in the case of the Colts, it's not necessarily a rookie, but we have a full-on job battle. Odds via FanDuel on the Colts running quarterback situation. Anthony Richardson, minus 130. Daniel Jones, minus 106. Riley Leonard, 80-1, just in case there. Richardson's had some health setbacks already, too. What's your take on this Colts situation?
Well, first and foremost, even at 80-1, I am not betting Riley Leonard. Something disastrous would have to happen to probably both Richardson and Daniel Jones for that to be a consideration. Look, I still think it's probably Daniel Jones. You know, Anthony Richardson needs to go out and win back this starting job. And, you know, he's having issues with the shoulder. I still think that the organization has kind of soured on him over the last couple of years. He's had a really short leash. And I think they went out and brought in Daniel Jones for a reason. The Colts just want stability at the quarterback position. And I think Daniel Jones brings that. You know, both of these guys are going to see time. They're both going to start at times next season. But as of right now, I'd go Jones.
Yeah, terrible timing on this injury for Richardson. He needs reps. He's not getting them. Baseball slate coming up next. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you. One last segment taking you up to 3 p.m. Eastern. Coming up after us, as always, it's Make It Rain with Adam Schein. He's going to have Mike Farron on the show today, giving his best bets in Major League Baseball. Jeff, we're going to do the same. Taking a look at an abbreviated Monday slate. No day games, only eight games on the ledger tonight. And we'll start with the Padres and the Phillies. Talked a little bit about this one earlier in the context of Zach Wheeler and his strikeout prop sitting at 6.5. Matt Waldron on the other side of this one for the Padres. Phillies are big favorites on the money line, minus 226, your price right now. Total sitting at 9. So you gave Zach Wheeler over 6.5 Ks. That was a 3 out of 5, Jeff. What do you like more in this game?
I like a couple of different things. First of all, I think I like the Phillies as a whole. That money line, by the way, has moved up to minus 239. So did the betting market does too. Bryce Harper just officially got activated by the Phillies coming back from that wrist injury. So their lineup is going to strengthen. Going up against the pitcher in Matt Waldron, who's a knuckleball pitcher, first of all, always fun to see that. He was in the rotation for much of last year. Yeah, wasn't pitching especially well this year at AAA at 5.24 ERA. Keep in mind that's in the PCL, and which has got a lot of launching pads, including the Padres' home park, El Paso. Definitely a very hitter-friendly ballpark there. San Diego's bats aren't doing all that well either, so it's a huge pitching mismatch there. So I get why the money line is so high. I'm very pro Wheeler. And the Padres just lost 2 out of 3 to the Reds. Robert Suarez blew the save yesterday, might not be available tonight. So I just don't see a whole lot of value in betting minus 239 is the problem. I just don't really want to go that route. So I have to find some other ways. Maybe you do Wheeler to get a win. I also just think that the Phillies offense will roll. And that's why I'm going with the Philly team total here. Going minus 145 on the over 4.5 runs on the Phillies team total. That's the route I'm going to take.
All right. I like it. If you think the Phillies win this one fairly handily, you can get them -1.5 on the run line, minus 115 at DK right now to cover that. Yeah. Let's take a look at Michael Cohen's New York Yankees, Jeff. An even closer look. They're on the road at Toronto tonight. Yankees favored on the money line. Total coming in at 8.5. This is Carlos Rodon going up against Max Scherzer. Just the third start of the year for Scherzer. Second since coming off the IL. It's not Dinger Thursday, Jeff, but you got a dinger prop for us.
Yeah, we got to keep it spicy every once in a while here. First of all, the Yankees, huzzah, broke their under or push streak to the total. All it took was Luis Severino on the mound, and the Yankees single-handedly got over that total at 12 runs scored. But it had been a really long time, so they kind of broke out of their slumber a little bit at the plate. I think they'll probably keep it rolling again tonight against Max Scherzer. Scherzer actually has a decent career total against him. If you look at the batter versus pitcher numbers with Scherzer against the Yankees, we talked about this a little bit earlier, I think. Career 633 OPS against him and 134 career at bats with the current Yankee lineup there. So it may not be a huge high scoring game. They might even go to the under here again a little bit. But on the other side, Carlos Rodon, a pitcher I usually typically very well like, I think might struggle a little bit against the Jays. Jays are 6 in WOBA and WRC plus against left-handed pitching. 328 WOBA, 112 versus left-handed pitchers. Their bats as a whole have come to life in the last month and a half or so. And Vlad Guerrero, lifetime against Carlos Rodon, 8 for 12 with 3 walks, an 1817 OPS. That's 1.817. That is a huge, huge number there. So we're going to play a Vlad Guerrero homer prop, Dinger Monday at plus 450.
All right, that's a great note on Vlad. 1.817 OPS career against Carlos Rodon. All right, Jeff, let's take a look at your team, Cincinnati Reds, on the road at Boston tonight. Red Sox, fairly heavy favorites on the money line. Lower total here at 7.5. That's because we got a great pitching matchup. Chase Burns going up against Garrett Crochet. We did kind of tip this one off earlier in the show, Jeff. You said you do not like Garrett Crochet to record a win. Or excuse me, you do not like Chase Burns to record a win. Does that mean you like Garrett Crochet?
I do. Cincinnati against left-handers typically struggle. 288 WOBA, 76 WRC plus. Their totals on the road are, as a whole, are a little bit better. They're 10th in WOBA, 11th in WRC plus. The WRC plus is interesting because they play in such a hitter-friendly ballpark, and WRC plus is indexed against ballpark. So say if you play in Coors Field, it's going to account for that when you measure your team WRC plus home and road and all that stuff. The Red Sox, really good home hitting teams, 338 WOBA at home. So Chase Burns is also in a little bit of a tough spot. The Reds bullpen, I don't think, is going to be all that strong. They worked pretty hard over the weekend. I don't know if we'll see Pagan available today. He got the win yesterday against the Padres. So I really like Crochet to record a win. I think it's pretty simple. We'll go that route. Instead of paying the money line price, I'll go Crochet plus 100. I mean, he's really good anyhow. It's good chances anyways. Then you add in the fact that the Reds struggle against the lefties. You're getting plus money to record a win. Let's go for it.
Royals are on the road at the Seattle Mariners tonight. I got the Mariners as minus 163 favorites on the money line. KC plus 133, another low total here coming in at 7. Michael Wacha going up against George Kirby. What are you looking at here?
Well, I'm looking at, I always look at, I have to look up sponsor name of the ballpark because I want to say Safeco, but it's T-Mobile. The ballpark matters quite a bit here. Really suppresses home runs quite a bit. That's why we were down on the Bobby Witt prop earlier. George Kirby's not quite all the way back. Had that one brilliant start against the Angels where he struck out 14. That's the only one where he struck out more than five batters, though. So he's not a huge strikeout guy yet. Seattle struggles at home offensively, 25th in home WOBA, 298. Michael Wacha, on the other hand, isn't a great road pitcher, but it's T-Mobile again. Wacha, you know, has had some decent road starts earlier this year. In particular, I remember he threw very well against the Padres. Similar sort of ballpark situation there. I think KC getting plus money at plus 133 is a pretty decent bet. So we're going to go Royals money line at plus 133.
Got Logan Webb taking on Ryne Nelson tonight. Giants on the road at the Diamondbacks. Giants minus 136 on the money line. Arizona plus 112. A little bit of a higher total here at 8.5. Both these teams need a win, Jeff. Who's getting it?
Yeah, you got that right. Both teams got swept at home by the Marlins this week. So they share that commonality there. And then San Francisco went on to Chicago, lost 2 out of 3 to the White Sox. So they're cut. But they've got Logan Webb on the mound tonight, and that's why they're a favorite. But Ryne Nelson, the Diamondbacks starting pitcher tonight, he might be their best starter right now. In the last three starts, 1-1 and 0 earned runs allowed, respectively. So pitching pretty well. This Giants lineup, not really pouring it on lately. Even despite trading for Rafael Devers, they haven't had this great run offensively. So I don't know if I want to bet on Nelson to get the win necessarily just because the Diamondbacks bullpen is what it is, down their top two relievers, but I am going to go Arizona money line. I think that, you know, them getting plus money at home with a pretty decent starting pitcher, I think at plus 112, that's pretty decent value. So we're going to go that route.
All right, there we have it. Before we get to our G-Bank best bets of the night, one quick note from the NBA. Utah Jazz have announced that they're buying out Jordan Clarkson. Not exactly headline news, Jeff, but interesting things brewing here in Utah. Parting ways with Clarkson. They traded Colin Sexton over the weekend, essentially straight up for Yusuf Nurkic. They parted ways with Johnny Juzang. So maybe clearing some room on that roster for Ace Bailey and Walter Clayton to make an impact in year one. It's time for our G-Bank best bets of the night. They're brought to you by G-Bank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you have to do is open a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. If you do that, you'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa Signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription, taking you all the way through October 31st, Halloween. It's a $200 value. It's the $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. You can head over to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Again, you can apply today over at VSIN.com/G-Bank. Terms and conditions apply. Jeff Erickson, your best bet of the night, please.
Philadelphia Phillies, over 4.5 on their team run total. They've played 40 games at home, scored 208 runs at home. They're playing against a below average starting pitcher, and they get Bryce Harper back tonight.
All right, there we have it. I know you may disagree with this one, Jeff. You said you think it might be a lower scoring game. Going to Yankees Blue Jays, I like the Yankees team total over 4.5 tonight, getting that at minus 110. Yankees offense kind of maybe starting to come around over the weekend against the A's. Not really sure I trust Max Scherzer here. That's really the crux of this one. Only his third appearance of the year, his second since coming back from injury. If he doesn't go deep into this game, not sure I trust that Toronto bullpen either. So Yankees team total over 4.5. That's going to do it for the Monday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back at you tomorrow afternoon. Keep it right here on VSiN. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming your way next.